We are primarily going to be in John and Mark for our lesson today. But you have the parallel passage sheet. There are a couple of references in Matthew and Luke that will tie in. It's good to have the complete picture of this event as we consider Jesus Christ as the resourceful one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at him in so many aspects this year, help us to appreciate him so much more. And in this particular lesson, I pray that you will show us something that will help us to be a little bit more faithful to you. Guide us through this study by your Holy Spirit, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever said, I can't do it, or it can't be done? So let's say you have a task to be done, but the resources are just not available to do it. Perhaps you don't have enough of money to pay for it, or the materials just aren't available. You know, sort of like the wood during the pandemic. It was so expensive, or sometimes it was hard to find. I remember somebody joking about finding a great find in a garage, and it was a picture of an old car, but they pointed to two sheets of plywood that they were so glad to find. That's the way it was in the pandemic. Perhaps you don't have enough manpower, or perhaps the people that are available just don't have the skills to do what needs to be done. So it can't be done. And then there comes along that old cliche, where there is a will, there is a way. And some person comes along and sure enough finds a way and accomplishes the task. Sort of like David, remember back in 1 Samuel chapter 17? Goliath gets up, I defy the armies of Israel, and all the Israeli army runs away. Can't be done. David says, why not? King Saul says, no, you are not able to go up against Goliath. You can't even wear my armor. Can't be done. So David had a sling and 5 smooth stones. Doesn't seem like much against a huge giant. But then he had something else. He had confidence in God. And with just a little bit in God's hands, a lot can be accomplished. And so we look at this event in the life of Christ and the Gospels. Jesus had sent his disciples out 2 by 2, and they've come back now, and they're giving their report. And there are always crowds wherever Jesus goes, and it was just too busy. And so he suggests to them that they go away for a little while. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart in a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. They were probably in the Capernaum area. That was Jesus' kind of home base. It's where Peter lived, and I believe it was in Peter's house he often stayed. It says in John chapter 6 and verse 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Tiberias was a new city built by the Romans. It was only 6 miles from Capernaum on the west coast of the Sea of Galilee, and he's going to take them to a place called Bethsaida. Luke chapter 9 and verse 10 says in the middle of the verse, he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city of Bethsaida. So it's going to be a secluded place just north of the city of Bethsaida. Bethsaida is at the northern point of the Sea of Galilee. And so they go from the west coast, one for you this side, going to the north. And they're going to get away from everybody and have a little time alone. It didn't work. Mark chapter 6, verse 33. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. Outwent. A lot of the people got to the secluded place north of Bethsaida before Jesus and his disciples arrived. How did they figure out where he was going? I don't know, but they seemed to know. They knew him. So they're traveling from Capernaum up around the coast on land. And as they're going, people see this crowd coming along and they're saying, what's going on? We're going to see Jesus. Oh, wait for us. And as they pass by city after city, town after town, more and more people gather together. It says they ran afoot out of all the cities and outwent them and came together unto him. Verse 34 in Mark, Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Compassion is that sensation that combines love and sorrow. The love part, we understand Jesus, as God, loves everyone. But what was he sorry for? Well, it says they were as sheep not having a shepherd. Here is this huge group of people. We're going to find out there are 5,000 men plus women and children. And there was no order. It was chaotic. It was just a chaotic crowd, no order whatsoever. We come here in this place and everybody finds a seat and sits down. We're all nice and orderly. Imagine multiplying this group by how many to make 5,000 men plus women and children, and everybody's just kind of milling around and nobody knows exactly what to do. So he gets their attention and he begins to teach them. In this secluded place, there would be hills all around. It was a mountainous area. And the mountains, the hills, would provide amplification. His voice would bounce off of the hills and everybody would be able to hear. It's pretty amazing how those things work in that area. And then he walked among the people and he healed those who needed to be healed. Luke chapter 9, verse 11 says he healed them that had need of healing. It came to be mealtime. Mark chapter 6, verse 35. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, not like the desert we think of with sand and cactus, but a secluded place, an isolated place. It was north of the town of Bethsaida. We don't know exactly how far. But the disciples say in verse 35, the end of verse 35, now the time is far spent. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Now, it was close enough for Bethsaida, for the people to go there, but the ancient city doesn't exist today, but they have excavated, and they've determined that the city of Bethsaida covered a total of 20 acres. Now, just to give you perspective, York City, within the city limits, covers 3,400 acres. I would say Bethsaida was kind of a small town. And probably only had a population of 200 or 300 people. And you're going to send 5,000 men plus women and children into Bethsaida to buy food. Not sure how many pizza parlors they had back then, but it would take a whole lot to feed that many people. Besides, these people had been walking a long way to get there. Jesus and his disciples came mostly by boat, but all the rest of the people had walked. They're tired. Jesus has compassion on them. And so in Mark chapter 6 and verse 37, he says to his disciples, "Give ye them to eat." And he turned to Philip. He's going to test Philip. "Philip, how much faith do you have?" John chapter 6, verse 5. John chapter 6, verse 5. Saith to Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Where can we go to buy some food for all these people? Verse 6, this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. He already knew what he was going to do. He's just testing Philip. Philip says, "Can't be done." John chapter 6, verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, 200 penny worth was a fair amount of money. Penny worth is the same word as translated penny. And remember over in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 2, a man hired people at different times of the day, but he agreed with the first group for a penny a day. A penny was, in Bible terms, a normal day's wage for a common laborer. So 200 penny worth, that it would take a common laborer 200 days to earn that much money. Sounds like a lot of money. In that day, a loaf of bread cost 1/6 of a penny. 5 loaves and 2 fish you could get for a whole penny. So if they have 200 pennies, how many loaves of bread and how many fish can they buy? They can buy about 1,000 loaves of bread and 400 fish. Now there are 5,000 men to feed. John chapter 6 and verse 10 says so. The men sat down in number about 5,000. There were also women and children in the multitude, though we don't know how many. Matthew chapter 14 verse 21 tells us they had eaten, were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Some surmise one woman for every man, 2 children for every couple would be 20,000 people. We don't know for sure exactly how many, but we do know there were 5,000 men and there were women and children beside. Which means if you have 1,000 loaves of bread, that would be 5 men plus women and children to each loaf of bread, and 12.5 men plus women and children to each fish. Now, the common fish of the day that they caught in the Sea of Galilee was tilapia. You like tilapia? Yeah. Season it with some lemon pepper and some olive oil. The average weight of a tilapia that they caught out of the Sea of Galilee weighed 1 pound. The large ones weighed 1.5 pounds. But this boy that we're going to be introduced to in a moment had small fish. If an average fish weighed 1 pound, 16 ounces, small fish, let's give it the benefit of the doubt, 12 ounces for each fish. No, Philip says, can't be done. So Jesus asked how much food they had. Mark chapter 6, verse 38, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." Andrew comes back in John chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. Don't know how big the barley loaves were. I bought a loaf of bread the other day, and I decided, knowing I was going to talk about this morning. I counted, there were 17 slices of bread in the loaf. I don't know how many slices there are in a barley loaf. But remember, these loaves are being carried by a small boy, a young boy. I doubt that they are really, really big. But Andrew's sentiments turn out to be the same. I mean, 5 loaves and 2 fish for 5,000 men plus women and children. And so Andrew says, the end of verse 9 in John chapter 6, what are these among so many? It can't be done. So Jesus says, have everybody sit down. Make the men sit down, he says in John chapter 6 and verse 10. So the men sat down in number about 5,000, and they sat in groups of 50 and 100. Interesting. What did Jesus say? They are as sheep having no shepherd. It was just chaotic, and he brings order to the whole group. They sat in ranks, Mark chapter 6, verse 40, by hundreds and by fifties. Mark chapter 6, verse 41, and when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fishes divided he among them all. He blessed the food, and then he began to break it into pieces and divide it in 12 parts. Now, either Jesus was multiplying the food as he put it in the basket so that the baskets were full when the disciples started out, or else he just divided the loaves into 12 parts and the fish into 12 parts and the food multiplied as people took out of the basket. I kind of think the latter, because I was thinking about this and I remember back in the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16, do you remember when Elijah came to the widow and she had just enough for her and her son to eat and then they were going to die? And he says, no, God is going to make so you won't run out. And in the passage of Scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 17, it doesn't say he gave her barrels and barrels and barrels, just as every time she went to the barrel, there was still some there. So I kind of think he just divided it up into the 12 baskets. Each disciple would have a basket. Remember, at the end, they'll gather up 12 baskets full. Well, each disciple had a basket. There were 12 disciples. Each one have a basket. So he divides the 5 loaves into 12 baskets. That's 1/12 of 5 loaves, or less than half a loaf of bread in each basket. And 2 fish. Each basket gets 1/6 of a fish, probably about 2 ounces. And each disciple is going to serve 416 men plus women and children with less than half a loaf of bread and 2 ounces of fish. So they go to the people, hand the basket. Can you imagine the disciples' surprise as the people begin reaching in and keep pulling food out of it? Where'd that come from? It just keeps coming. In fact, everyone ate to their complete full, and they gathered up the leftovers, and there were 12 baskets full of food left over. It's absolutely amazing. How could this happen? Jesus has creative power. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, for by him all things were created. John chapter 1 and verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made. And if he can make things out of nothing, he can certainly take something that he made and change it. Remember, he took the dust of the ground and made man. He took a rib from man and turned it into a woman. Jesus can certainly take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 5,000 men plus women and children. I would say this makes Jesus pretty resourceful. John chapter 6, verse 12. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. So people took more than they could eat. He says, gather them up. It wasn't that the baskets were automatically full when the disciples got done. Baskets were empty. He says, gather up the fragments. So they go around and people put back into the baskets what they had left over. They had so much, they were so full, they couldn't eat all they had taken. They put it back in the baskets and they come back and they have 12 baskets full. Who do you think got some of that? You think maybe that little boy went home with a lot more than he left? Moses said, who am I that I should go before Pharaoh? He said, I'm not eloquent. I don't have the talent to speak. And yet, God used him in a mighty way. John the Baptist said in Mark chapter 1 and verse 7, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. John the Baptist says, I am nothing compared to Jesus. And yet Jesus said that John was the greatest prophet among people. Neither Moses nor John the Baptist considered themselves to have any personal value, and yet God used them mightily. What resources do we have? Well, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27, and God tells us what we bring with us as Jesus saves us and the Holy Spirit brings us into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things. Oh, that doesn't sound good. God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not. That's what we have to bring with us when we come into the body of Christ. Foolish, weak, base, and despised things. I wouldn't say those resources contribute much to the body of Christ. And yet, what is the task that he gives us? Saving people in the world, witnessing to our neighbors, edifying the church, involving teaching and preaching and visiting the sick and sorrowing, the work of the ministry involving caring and nurturing and helping. Here's the thing. Accomplishing the work of God has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with our limited resources. It has everything to do with our small, weak resources in the hands of God. It will be amazing what God can accomplish if you will be like a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. and let God do what he does. He has all the resources that are needed. All he needs is a willing servant to be used of him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for being what you are. We acknowledge what we are. Just sinners saved by grace. That's all. Thank you that you don't depend on us to contribute because we don't have much. But thank you that you are the resourceful one. You can take what little we are and what little we have and you can use us to your honor and glory. Help us to be just simple people in your hands. And let you do what you do with us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.